Right now, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can find them on the web at, of course, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com, and right here on Robinhood Radio, live on a Tuesday morning. Good morning to our good friends in Florida.
Good morning.
Tim's on the road.
Hello.
Oh. Yes.
So Tim's on the road, and Greg, are you safely ensconced in the house?
You're kind of breaking, going in and out.
Okay. I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Sorry about that, Greg. You just got to bear with us and listen a little closely here, because it's
because I'm getting to the point in my life where I only process every other word anyway, so
he hardly listens. Oops, did I say that out loud?
Well, I want to start off with Sotheby's. They're going to be taking Bitcoin in their next auction.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing that some of these auction houses are jumping on board, and not only are they So Sotheby's is the first to do the Bitcoin, but also a number of auction houses are partnering and trying to get into the nifty items to be sold at auction, which means that they also have to figure out a way to process and take the digital currency. So this is it's amazing. I'm a little hesitant at this because I think it's when you see something like a fad that grows so quickly and so much money is involved. I don't know. I no good can come of this is my feeling. That's my personal feeling.
Well,
I don't know.
I think you're right. I mean, it's a brand new market. It's not regulated by anybody right now, except
Correct.
For the people who are in it. There's a lot of people who are in it that got in it early that are lucky. There's a lot of people going into it now that are not so lucky. So I think you're right. For organizations like Sotheby's to do this and other auctions, I give them credit for wanting to stay abreast of the trends. But, boy, this could really blow up very quickly.
Very quickly. And could have some major consequences. And I think the point that you brought up, Marshall, is very important, is that there's no regulation. So whether you're when you're running a business, there's all sorts of business licenses and regulations and consumer watchdog places that you can bring your complaints or try to resolve issues. Here, not so much. I mean, where do you go? There's no, and not that I'm advocating for cyber police, but it's also, there's something good about having a regulatory system in place that really is an overseer to make sure that things are on the up and up.
Well, you know, it's the auction houses who, and the bottom line, if something goes south, the lawsuits are going to be amongst the people that bid and the people that sold and the auction houses. They're the ones, and the cryptocurrency is not going to be the ones involved in this.
Correct.
Well, I have a question because I'm still trying to wrap my head around the cryptocurrency and these, you know, like
blockchain.
What do they call them? Blockchain, non fungible something, or you know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I still can't figure out whether or not Bitcoin is represented by something tangible. What, you know, if I buy something at Sotheby's and I spend $1 million in Bitcoin, what does that mean in real money?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because in the United States, our money used to be backed by gold. Okay, years ago they stopped that, and that's why we have the ability as a country to print as much money as we want, because we don't have to have the full amount of gold or something backing it there. But cryptocurrency, to me, is one step further. It is backed purely by faith. That is it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why I think Tim's point about this could this could backfire is, you know, it's well taken, because I for the life of me, every time I start to read it, I get lost. I cannot for the life of me, and I'm a very logical person for the most part, and I cannot for the life of me logically figure out how cryptocurrency works and what is backing it up, so that if there's money in the bank to back up that, then that's one thing. But if it's just out there and isn't a real thing, I just don't understand how it's going to work.
We haven't even gotten into the fact that if you're a green person and you want to save the environment, cryptocurrency is the most power using energy that has come along in a long time, because you need billions and billions of bits of data, and you've got these huge warehouses that are running 24 hours a day, full steam. And it's going to be interesting, and I think Tim's a point that we have to see where this winds up is pretty big.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see how this works out, and I'm wondering whether or not, if this is the first auction house to do this, I'm wondering if, not unlike the internet, where when it first opened up, people didn't understand it. And as more companies started getting involved, people started following and started understanding it. So I'm wondering if Bitcoin is going to, that's how we are going to learn about Bitcoin, because you can do all the research you want, but if you don't understand what non-fungible means or what actually is backing up this cryptocurrency, to me, it just is fantasy until I can logically understand and see it in action. I just don't understand it.
All right,
I hope it's a big success. I really do, but I just don't. I don't know. Somebody's going to end up scamming somebody. I just know it.
Sooner or later. I want to move on to Sotheby's once again. How about this? They sold a crate of Chinese liquor. I'm going to try to pronounce it. Kuqiao Montai. $1.4 million. It's the highest price ever paid at an auction for a single lot of outside China. So even liquor's getting in on the deal here.
Yes. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, alcohol. Yeah. Alcohol being sold brings up an interesting point, and that is, I think you have to have a license, actually, even to, like, for example, like for wine and stuff. Don't you have to have a license?
Yes.
So,
In most states,
you know, if you have this bottle at home, you're not going to be able to put it up on eBay and sell it for $1.4 million. This is definitely an anomaly. I don't ever remember any alcohol, doesn't matter what it is, selling for even half that amount. So, I mean, if I'm wondering if this is part of the effects of selling at auction after the pandemic, when everybody during the pandemic got into auctions online, and now said, well, if they, let's just start selling this stuff now, let's just see what happens. And I think the old adage of, you know, just throw something on the wall and whatever sticks, well, I have a feeling that this is one of those things. It's like, well, let's just see if this is going to what this is going to sell for. I mean, would they have been happy with half that amount? Who knows? Maybe not.
Yeah, but there's also been a number of wine auctions. I mean, there are some rare wine bottles that have topped $1 million. The Romani Conti, and, you know, different things. But when you start getting into other types outside of wine, other types of liquors, that's where we're seeing a major growth area, because there's also the bourbons and the whiskeys and a lot of other spirits that have also been gaining ground and market share against the wines. And I think that it's just people are realizing, well, okay, we don't have to just do wine at auction. Let's do other spirits. And, you know, it also goes down to, and we say this all the time, it's all about rarity, condition, desirability. I mean, that's the trinity when it comes to value, is when you look at that, those three things are major players. And that must have been something that really touched a nerve, and people were bidding.
Now, this caught my eye, and I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. I found it on, I think it was on CNN, that an auction of literary manuscripts was going to come up in a month. Jane Austen, Walter Scott, and more was going to hit the auction block, but now a bunch of British libraries and museums are coming together, and they're going to try to save that manuscripts from being split up and disappearing. Sotheby's has put that auction off now. That's a pretty interesting story when you've got a diverse set of libraries. It obviously is that they're pitching in, and they're trying to stop this to keep this literary set all together. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing about this can't be the only set. I mean, there are other. I'm sure there have been others that have sold over the years. So I'm not
quite... But it's a collection that has been amassed, and I think that it's because of all of the items that are in this collection. So, you know, this is from my standpoint, is that when you're looking at a collection, is this something that a lot of people could have put together, or is this special because of the items that are in it? So, and it can go either way. Sometimes the sum of the parts might be worth more or might be worth less. And based from a literary and, I guess, from an institutional standpoint, they want to see this collection stay together because of what it represents and the number of manuscripts that are in there and what it is.
Well, they've guaranteed that they're going to raise $21 million to purchase the collection and then redistribute that collection to libraries around the UK.
Right. So what they're trying to do, and I think what Sotheby's is doing, and they probably went to their consignor and said, hey, this would probably be a very good thing, and let's see if we can do a private sale. They're probably going to do something and so that the individual can sell the items, but then also get them into public institutions as opposed to private collections. So that's probably what their motive is for this whole thing.
Once again, it's just a lot of money, $21 million. But I think it's kind of cool that the libraries are pitching in to try to do this. I mean, they can use that money for a lot of things. But once again, they want to keep the collection out and amongst the public.
Sure, and that sounds like what it is that they're trying to do is to make sure that there's public access to these, you know, these great works.
Well, it's
interesting.
Well, there's never a week that goes by that I don't scan the headlines now for various auction news, and some of it amazes me, of course, with the prices and some of the absurdities. But something like this really stands out to me because it's being done in the public good. It's not being done to take something out of public view and then hide it in your library and sell it again in 4 years for $40 million or whatever.
Sure. And I think that it's something that also the institutions will look after that. And because it does have then the access, the public has the access to it, it really just, I guess, elongates the life of these so that they can be appreciated by more people. It's just like items being donated to a museum so people can see them, as opposed to hanging on a boardroom wall where it'll never be seen.
And it's there as an economic asset, not as a beautiful art asset.
Correct. Well, and a cultural asset. Yeah, which is interesting. Also, I wanted to let you know, we had a listener who sent us an email, and we appreciate it. She's an appraiser and was asking about the appraisal program that we talked about last week, and we sent her the link on where she could find, you know, where you could find that. So we were very happy to hear from our listeners. Very exciting.
Well, you know,
I hope she's listening again today, and I just want to say thank you. It was great to get your email. It's nice to know that somebody is listening after all.
Well, you know, they are. And what we find with all the different programs is, yes, we get responses locally, okay? But with your show, with Arthur Schwartz, with, of course, Margaret Roach, with Don Morrison, with David Terechuk, because of the on-demand section, the podcast section, people from all over the country listen into these shows, and that's the great thing about all of what you folks do when you volunteer your time to do these shows here on this radio station. It really works out as a win-win for the listeners, you guys, and for the radio station. So,
in that case, we want to raise.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll double it. We'll double it. Okay.
Thank you, Marshall. Wow.
I can do that. I can do that without even contacting Joe.
Right. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Have a good week. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Take care, Marshall.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. So once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.